Draw your attention this evening to 1 Samuel. I have a half a cough drop tonight. I understand that Tommy suggested that we break them in half. I'm going to wait till after we pray to put that in, though. I need every moment I can get. Phew. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the song that we've just heard. Thank you for the family that sang it. Lord, you are good. You are great. You are powerful. We can trust you because you are faithful. Thank you for that hope that we have in Christ, that foundation that we have in Christ, that we can have an anchor that holds in the midst of the conflict and in the midst of the storm. I pray, Lord, for your blessing in this part of the service tonight. I pray that you would give that anointing that is needed. I pray that you would touch my mind and my lips, touch our hearts, that we would be receptive this evening to you. The truth that you have for us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this particular chapter. I love this story. The kids love to sing about this story. David rose up early in verse number 20 and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench. The host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. David left his carriage with the hand of the keeper, or in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As they talked, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. It doesn't say that David saw him, but it does say that David heard the words. So we really don't know if David was fully aware of all that was going on, all that had taken place up to this point in time, but he did hear the words of Goliath, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after the same manner. And Eliab, his eldest brother. Whew. What's I just saying about family? Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? What have I done to deserve this critique?" And he presents a question that I want to present tonight. Is there not a cause? Now, the story doesn't begin with where I began reading. It goes way, way back. It doesn't even go back into the first verse of this particular chapter. That's not the beginning. Sure, that may be the beginning of this scenario, the beginning of this particular scene. A lot changed from the last verse of chapter 16 to the first verse of 17. We find that David is one of the workers. He's one of the staff in King Saul's house. He's an armor bearer. He's a harp player. He's there to soothe the king in the midst of the troubling spirit that would engulf his heart and his mind. And somewhere in the transition, he's back with the sheep, and Jesse is worried. He's concerned about what's taking place. He hasn't heard anything from the battlefront, and so he sends David down to find out what's going on. And as chapter 17 begins and opens up, we realize that the Israelites, who were mighty in battle, were stumped because of one challenger from the opposing side stepped out that scared the daylights out of them. Scared them completely out of their wits. I suppose that they had reason to run away and hide, because this Philistine was challenging man against man, and this Philistine dwarfed everybody else in the Israelite army, including the king, who stood head and shoulders above the rest of them. And they were all afraid, and David heard the words of Goliath. And it didn't matter to him whether he saw this Goliath man or not. He heard the words of Goliath, and he was defying the God of Israel. And even though his brother, who was probably a hero to him, stood up against him, David recognized that there was a cause that was greater than the present circumstances. Why are we here tonight? We're here because a couple hundred years ago and more, somebody thought that there was a cause, that there was a reason to fight, and there was a reason to stand up. There was a reason to move across the Atlantic Ocean and to find a place that they could worship God in freedom. So many of those people fought in that cause and gave of their lives and their fortunes so that you and I today can be here in this place of freedom. World War I, World War II, other wars that have taken place, people recognized that there was a cause that was worthy of fighting, and that is what makes it possible for us to be here this evening. But we can lay aside the history of our country, and we can just go to the very history of this church and recognize that somebody, somewhere in the history of Wiseball Community Church, recognized that there was a cause that needed to be stood for and to be sacrificed for, and decided that it was worth the effort to set up church for a Friday night and for a Sunday services, and then tear it back down and have school in that building for the rest of the week. And over and over again, I'm told that that's the way the services went and the work effort went, because somebody thought it was worthwhile, the cause of having a church in this area. And when it came available to buy the land, I'm told that somebody decided that the cause was worth the effort and worth the sacrifice to buy the property and to have an established place for Wiseball Community Church. And so we find ourselves looking back even into the 1990s and recognize that some people felt it dearly upon their heart and felt the need and the cause again standing up before them to build a different building, a larger building, so that they could continue to worship as the family of Wiseball Community Church. And so the effort was presented and the sacrifices were made. There was a cause that brought them together to build the building that we're in tonight. What is the cause that is before us in 2022? Some of you immediately look to the bottom line, or the next to the bottom line, or the numbers that are on the board over here to see where the building fund offering is setting right now. And that's not really my point tonight. My point tonight is that there is a cause in our lives. And I could walk up and down these aisles this evening and ask every single person, down to the very youngest of a person that is able to understand anything at all about who they are and when their birthday is and all of that stuff. And I can ask them about and talk to them about the cause that God has given to them. I mentioned that it didn't begin right here in this passage that I began with the reading. But we can go all the way back into the childhood of David and realize that David was being prepared and David was in the works. He was in the school that God had prepared for him so that he could come to this particular point in his life. Even though this probably isn't the point of the fullness of his purpose, but he was brought to this particular point so that he could stand up in the midst of a doubting and a wavering army and present the reality once again, is there not a cause? What is your cause today? What is it that causes you to go to work or go to school or to do the duties around the home or whatever it is that consumes your days? What is it that is your cause today? One thing that I must say, anytime our cause trumps God's cause, we need to go back and reassess the cause. Mentioned this morning that everything that we do should be done to the glory of God. Everything. From the most outgoing person that's here to the most shy and introverted person that's here, there is a cause for you. Everyone in between, there is a cause. God has a cause. Who could I talk to tonight? Even those that are maybe in kindergarten or before. I think sometimes Natalie likes for me to pick on her a little bit. Natalie, I can tell you tonight that God has a cause for you. Because God has placed you here in your mom and dad's home for a purpose and for a reason. And that goes for every single one tonight. Whether we understand it or not, whether we fully grasp it or not, we are here for such a time as this. What is the cause? Is there not a cause? Dr. Matlock said this morning in Sunday school class that he wasn't willing to die on that hill, I think's what he said. And if you weren't in class up here this morning, you wouldn't understand without a long explanation of what that was all about, but just simply the statement, he wasn't willing to die on that hill. What hill are we willing to die on? I agree with what he said. I agree with why he said it. There's some principles that we should have. And let me challenge you tonight at the beginning of this year to be principled people, to be people of conviction. We're finding it all around us, more and more prevalent, more and more knowable and seen because of social media. We realize that people who speak things aren't really as principled or as full of conviction as what they want to be expressed in their words. And it's visible in their lives and in their pictures. Principled. If you believe something, believe it. If you have a conviction about something, have that conviction no matter where you are and what you're doing. No matter who's watching and who's not watching. There's a lot of things that can be said in that, and that's not really where I want to go. That's not where I want us to focus. I want us to focus on that question and on the reality of it tonight, that there is a cause. Because God has a plan for every single one of us. I'd talk to Carson tonight if he would have any understanding at all about it. I'd talk to your child tonight if they had any understanding at all about it. If I had enough time left to talk about it to each individual, we have a cause. You have a cause because God has a purpose and a plan. What is the cause tonight that you're willing to stand for? God's cause. We don't know how long the United States will remain free. It's very possible that the purpose of the United States in God's plan and God's purpose is past. Maybe it's already gone. God has already established His purpose and fulfilled that purpose. I don't necessarily know. I hope not. I hope God has something else for us. But it doesn't matter what takes place on that particular front. God has a purpose, He has a plan, He has a cause for us. Goliath might stand up and challenge the armies of Israel. He might challenge the armies of God. He might do something as an affront against God's church and God's people. Notice that he's not talking specifically against Saul. He's not talking against Eliab. He's not talking about individuals here. He's talking about the God of Israel. And David saw and heard. That is what he was recognizing. Keep it apart. Keep it separate. We're not talking about a people here. We're not talking about an individual here. We're talking about God's purpose and God's plan and what He has for you and for me this year. There is a cause. There is a cause. And if Jesus tarries, there will be a generation that will look back and recognize perhaps the very people that are represented in this sanctuary, in this service tonight, as a fulfillment of standing up in the cause so that the prosperity of it all can go on. Whatever the case may be, dads, be that in our families. Moms, be that in our families. Grandparents, let's continue that in our families as well. That we stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. And when my personal cause trumps the cause that God has for me, I need to step back and reassess. Is there anything too hard for God? God can fulfill His purpose and His plan. There is a cause for us tonight. Let's stand together. Amen. See, I need a full cough drop. Oh, may it burn on our heart. There is a cause. And every one of us has a place and a purpose in that cause. May God help us to fulfill it. Amen. Thank you all for being here this week, this Sunday. First Sunday of the year. Imagine that. It's just hard to comprehend. So glad for each one being here. Praise God. Colin, would you dismiss us in prayer?